AC, how you doing?
I'm doing all right. How about you?
I'm doing okay.
Yeah?
Doing okay. Haven't been crying recently.
That's no?
Always a plus. Actually, well, maybe
know.
Not.
Maybe not. Maybe not. Maybe yeah. A good cry is yeah. something positive.
Yeah. Cry me a river. Tell me something to cry about.
I don't know, man. I guess there's a lot to cry about if you think about it in the world. There's
crying something. Workshops. What do you think about that?
A crying workshop. Explain to me what a crying workshop is.
Well,
Dan.
A crying workshop is where we would get together, mm-hmm. hopefully as a team, all
okay.
of team Deep
okay.
English.
Yeah.
And we would watch something sad,
uh-huh.
like maybe
your like video home videos when you were a child,
right?
That kind of
right.
thing.
Yeah. And then we just let it all out.
No,
just a
just
big
ball.
Cathartic.
Ball our eyes out.
Yeah.
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 Wow. I've never done something like that before, but I occasionally cry. Usually when listening to music.
Uh huh.
Yeah.
What kind of music?
It just depends. I listen to a lot of different varieties of music, and if something moves me, mm-hmm. I might shed a tear.
Hmm.
Yeah, music stimulates all kinds of different emotions
yeah.
in me. Yeah, from excitement to sadness to happiness, all kinds
uh-huh.
of things. Yeah,
uh-huh.
yeah. It doesn't affect you that way?
Nope. I'm like a robot.
You're cold as ice.
I'm a robot. No emotions.
No emotions. Just complete.
No, of course.
Yeah.
Music's emotional. I don't know that any music has ever moved me to tears.
Really? No movies have ever moved you
oh,
to tears?
Oh, sure.
Okay.
Sure,
so
that's different. That's drama.
I see.
That's the drama of life on the big screen.
Okay. What's a movie that you cried in?
Now music
yeah.
could heighten the drama.
Uh-huh.
The right kind of background music in a movie that definitely yeah. moves me.
Do you know any movies that you've shed a tear in? You can't remember offhand.
Give me a second. Not Old Yeller.
That actually made me cry when I was a kid.
There was a story. Read something about a dog that died that made me cry
okay.
as a kid.
So you had a thing for dogs.
I don't know if I put it that way. It's a little odd. Everybody loves dogs.
Yeah, no, dogs are awesome.
But that's interesting. Yeah. Actually, this Hideki Tadai, his uh-huh. crying workshops, that's one of the things they watched was like a little short film about a dying pet.
Uh-huh.
Which can be, I guess, pull at people's heartstrings.
Sure. Absolutely.
Another things that they watched were little films about father-daughter relationships.
Hmm. That's interesting. As a means to stimulate people to cry.
Yes.
I see.
Yes.
Yeah.
And one part that I don't know that we covered
uh-huh.
in the story was part of their business is not just crying, but it's orchestrated by the head of the workshops they're called handsome men.
Handsome men.
Yeah.
And the idea behind that is that...
I don't...
the way I understood is that by using handsome men, that they would... It would help encourage other people to think that it's okay to cry.
And okay, but why handsome? Shouldn't it just be like a macho man?
Yeah, I would think so. Maybe that's what they're conflating. Maybe they're conflating macho with handsome. I don't know.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, if a handsome macho man can cry, then anybody can cry. It's totally acceptable to do, right?
One thing I thought was interesting in the story was they did this cross-cultural study of which cultures were more likely to cry and which were least likely. And
yeah.
Japan ranked at the bottom of 37 countries studied, and America ranked at the top.
Well, hang on. When you say they ranked at the bottom, that means that
they're least likely
to cry.
Yes.
But see, I find that fascinating because I'm always seeing Japanese people cry on TV. It's like...
Yeah, but in real life?
I don't know. Maybe not. Yeah.
I mean, I think there is something to that Japanese psychologist who said it's a bit of a virtue to be able to restrain yourself
mm-hmm.
and to contain yourself
yeah.
and to...
Not just crying and sadness, but all kinds of what would be termed negative emotions,
yeah.
like anger or frustration.
Yeah, well, that's what she said.
Yeah.
Crying to be able to restrain, you know, your anger or your sadness is a virtue.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'd go so far as to say it's a virtue here, but
no.
I think it is respected to be able to restrain yourself to enryo shimasu.
Yeah.
For our Japanese listeners.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it would be... It's one way to maintain a certain type of outward social harmony.
Yeah. So, I mean, actually, that didn't surprise me about Japan. Uh-huh. It surprised me that, that Americans the US are such big criers.
You know, when you say Americans, you're talking about United States.
Yes, okay. North Americans, yeah, North Americans, and specifically United States of Americans. States.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, those Americans. Yeah,
I wouldn't think that because I think of you know, U.S. culture being kind of macho.
Well, yeah, traditionally, I think we were maybe not actively discouraged from crying, but at least, you know, that was there in our culture, in our cultural upbringing, that boys especially should, you know, be tough and not cry and things like that. And only you know, girls or sissies would cry. That's sort of very traditional.
Did your father ever tell you?
No, they were pretty cool about that. I mean, but I heard a lot of that from teachers and peers and things like that. And I played a lot of sports, so I was around a lot of athletes. And yeah, crying was not really encouraged, you know, to say the least.
That just reminded me, my daughter who goes to preschool here in Japan, she cries all the time at home. Uh-huh. She's a little crybaby.
Well, she lives with you. I mean, I'd be crying all the time at home if I was living with you,
too. She's got to look at this mug. But she told me, I once asked her, you know, if she ever cries at school. She was like, no. Like,
oh, really?
There's no crying. There's no crying. Yuta sensei says no. Her teacher says no crying at school.
Not exactly.
She says, she says it with pride. I never cry at school.
Oh, wow.
She said some of the other kids, they cry, but not me.
Not me.
Meanwhile, she cries every day at home. She doesn't get her candy when she wants it. She doesn't get to watch TV.
Well, there are many things to cry about. There's no doubt about that. Yeah. And I sometimes cry when I'm a bit stressed out.
Yeah.
But not like curled up on the floor with my finger in my mouth or something like that. Yeah. But just it does release some tension, and you know, you feel better afterward. No doubt about it.
Yeah, I totally buy that part of the research saying that it's cathartic for many people. It certainly is for me.
Yeah.
I can't remember the last time I cried. I think I get a little teary-eyed around Father's Day. My father passed away on Father's Day, so that's always a little emotional day for me.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, it's maybe a little moisture around the eyes. It's not like just unleash.
It's not a deluge of...
Yeah, which maybe would be a good thing.
Yeah, it could be. And then there's laughter.
Yeah.
And then there's laughter. Laughter is the best medicine.
Yeah, that's what they say.
That's what they say.
Patch Adams, did you ever see that movie?
Yeah, I did. I can't remember the name of the movie. Was it Patch Adams, the actual name of the movie?
I think so.
It was with Robin Williams, who recently passed away.
There's a character. I mean, what a funny guy who brought so much joy into so many people's lives. Yeah. And, you know, he suffered from really bad depression and ended up killing himself.
Yeah.
Very sad story.
Yeah. The irony of it all.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I love laughing.
I
like the laugh. I like watching funny movies. I'm constantly like joking around with my kids and my wife. And it's
was thinking about the part in the story where it talks about how just like humans, animals seldom laugh or pant in a laughing sort of way when they're alone. They don't do that. It's built into laughter is a form of communication or camaraderie. And, you know, I was watching Dave Chappelle special.
Night. He's a comedian, an American comedian.
Yeah. It was hilarious.
Yeah.
And, I don't think I laughed out loud maybe more than once, even though I watched an hour and it was funny.
Yeah.
And if I was with people, I probably would have.
Yeah. Have you ever been in a room of people where, they call them like laughing meditations or laughing exercises,
laughing clubs.
Is that what they're called?
Laughing clubs? Sometimes. Yeah. Oh. Laughing yoga, laughing.
Okay.
Clubs.
Laughing yoga. I've been in big rooms where the yoga teacher will just start laughing in a big belly laugh. And then eventually a few other people start laughing and you kind of fake laugh at first just to get the sound, but then it turns into real laughter and you can't stop.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, that's kind of fun. Yeah,
I think we did a deep English lesson on laughter yoga.
Yeah, we probably did at some point. Yeah,
And do you know who Osho is?
Yeah, he's the spiritual guru from India, perhaps.
Right. Well, he's not alive anymore.
But, okay, he passed away
maybe 20 years ago or so. Yeah. But he had a big following in India, and then he moved his commune to the U.S. and had a big Western following.
Mm-hmm.
And anyways, he had some very radical out there meditation techniques. Mm-hmm. And one of his more famous ones is called the Mystic Rose.
Okay. And I've never heard of that.
I hope I don't get this wrong, but I think it's 3 days of laughter. You just laugh like wild. Again, there's no jokes. It's like the laughter yoga.
Yeah, to me, that just seems, how can that be possible? How can you laugh for 3 straight days?
Why not?
Because you'd lose your voice. I mean, you'd like, how could you do that? Like, how could you laugh out loud for 3 days without stopping? Your tonsils would just deteriorate.
Yeah, maybe I'm wrong about that.
I mean,
maybe,
but
it's
anyway.
Maybe it's 1 day.
Uh-huh.
And I'm going to look it up right now as we're talking. And then it's 3 days of crying.
Okay.
I think, as far as I remember.
Yeah.
And then it's 3 days of silence.
Okay, but like you usually when you cry, I guess, and when you laugh, like you just can't sustain it. Like, is it just like fake laughing and fake crying, or is it?
You're ruining my story.
Okay, I'm sorry. I'm trying to understand.
I think it is. Yeah. I think it is fake.
Uh-huh.
Oh, I got it totally wrong.
Oh, what's
the Osho? There, I'm reading it. The Osho Mystic Rose Meditative Therapy lasts for 3 hours a day for 3 weeks.
Okay.
The first week, laughing, 3 hours of laughing for, I guess, 7 days.
Okay.
Then the second week, 3 hours of crying. That you could probably sustain, even though it'd still be hard.
Well, if I was around you, man.
And then 3 days of silence.
Okay.
A week. The third week is
all of silence. Yeah, that's maybe easier to do.
Yeah.
Physically, anyway.
Yeah.
Interesting. Well, we could try that, I suppose.
Yeah, I don't know if I got time for that. But it's interesting.
Well, the laughter part I could probably get into. Yeah. I don't know about the crying part.
Yeah. But. Well, yeah, I mean, if there was something to laugh at, I don't know if I could do the fake laughing for 3 hours.
Well, you could put on
day.
Like comedy, like just keep watching comedy.
Right. But I'm sure it just transforms your whole connection with these, you know, emotional outbursts.
Yeah.
That we have.
Well, I think also that these type of activities, crying and laughing, probably affect, you know, your chemical makeup, your biology,
of course.
And maybe the very act of doing that.
Well, I mean,
that's
studied. Yeah, that's
I'm
fact.
Sure. I'm sure.
Cortisol, which is related to stress, goes down.
Yeah.
Dopamine, which does a lot of things, but you know, it's associated with good feelings, goes up.
Yeah.
And I'm sure in terms of like stress and blood pressure and your immune system, it's not just laughter, but crying also.
Yeah. This one researcher, Jock, I don't know if I'm going to get his name right. Jock.
Punksepp.
Punksepp.
I think.
Is he Dutch?
I don't know.
He sounds like a Dutch name.
He's a professor at a U.S. university.
Okay.
I know that.
Okay. Anyway, he studies the neuroscience of emotions.
Yeah. In animals.
In animals. Yeah. And, one of the main things that he states is that really we're very, very similar, like on a pre-cognitive level. When it comes to emotions, we're very, very similar to animals. Even animals as distant from us as chickens, and we share many of the same biochemical neural pathways and that are related to emotions. So we see many of the same patterns, many of the same systems, and that by stimulating certain areas of the brain, we can actually bring these emotions into being. And he mentions like the case that sometimes in surgery, you know, if something, some part of the brain gets stimulated, someone can get very angry and et cetera. So I find that very, very interesting because it sort of insinuates that in the future, if we really understand these neural pathways, that we can develop technologies in the form of perhaps drugs, or maybe it's not a drug, maybe it's some way of stimulating these areas of the brain to bring about happiness and to maybe get away from things like depression and anxiety. I just find that.
Well, really, I mean, that's the story of the Matrix.
Oh, is that
the artificial Matrix, intelligence yeah. creates all of these this emotional life for us uh-huh. when in reality we're just plugged into this machine and the robots are using humans for harvesting energy. Uh-huh. And you know, if we perhaps, you know, we no longer, we lose some of our humanity if we are able to artificially encourage only the positive, only the highs.
Right. I mean,
without the lows, perhaps the highs are not meaningful.
They're meaningless, perhaps. But in severe cases of depression or anxiety, it could be a means of bringing people
yes.
away from the precipice or away from yeah. the abyss
yeah.
and back to, you know, hope.
Yeah.
So that could be a positive part of that. But yeah, very interesting. That we may share a lot in common with animals when it comes to emotions.
Right,
yeah.
right.
Which, when you observe dogs or monkeys or cats and other mammals.
Right.
I mean, you can totally feel that. You can
right.
make sense. But when you get into reptiles and it starts to get a little distant, it's hard to kind of understand what's going on, at least for me. But yeah, I thought that was interesting. Chickens.
We share a lot with chickens. Yeah. Chickens are sad?
Oh, apparently their neural pathways of sadness are very similar to ours. Hmm. Yeah. According to Jock.
Elephants, there's some very sad videos on the internet.
Oh, right. Of they crying
yeah. and,
over dead loved ones and protecting yeah. their bodies and mourning yeah. for days on end.
Well, I was looking into the story that we cite, which is about an elephant who was separated from its mother who mm-hmm. started crying. It's a really sad story. It was a newborn. You know, elephants are very intelligent.
Yeah, of course.
But
yeah.
there seemed to have been something wrong with this mother elephant, and she gave birth, and she tried to kill her baby, which I'm sure is very unusual. They're very loving pack animals.
Uh-huh.
And I guess there was something wrong with this mother, and she tried to kill the baby, and so they separated the baby from the mother,
uh-huh.
and then they allowed them, tried to reintroduce the mother, and the mother tried to kill the baby again.
Wow.
And so they separated them again, and this newborn baby was crying, tears streaming down her face because she was, you know, separated from her mother, and she was just new to this world.
Yeah,
it was really sad. And there's lots of stories of crying elephants.
Mm-hmm.
I think we once did a story about elephants. They have funeral rituals.
Yeah, that's right. We did do a story on that.
Yeah,
time ago.
They will hang near the body, and I think they'll do something. They'll like put brush, like sticks and wood around it, as mm-hmm. if they're consecrating the ground.
Right.
And they'll stay with the body and cry for some significant amount of time.
Wow.
Yeah, elephants.
Yeah, there's a lot to learn from elephants.
Well, on that note, until next time.
Yeah, I hope you have lots of laughter.
Don't count your chickens before they hatch.
Because if you do, you'll be crying.
Yeah, that's right. That expression has no connection to this conversation at all.
Well,
I just like chickens.
Just wanted to throw that out there, in case.
All right. See you later.